Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Appearance Radio with Augusto Perez. On today's mailbag show, we'll be discussing prophetic current events, answering your questions, sharing praise reports, and praying over your prayer requests. We'll also be taking communion after the music break. Now, here is Augusto.
Welcome to the Appearance Radio Mailbag Show. I am Augusto Perez, and shalom. Today is Tuesday, March 19, 2024, the year of our Lord. We'll bring you the latest in headline news, commentaries, analysis, as we see it through the eyes of Bible prophecy and the Word of God. I have some items here to share, and then I will turn it over to Larry and Chuck, and they can share their view on this and other topics that are making the rounds today. But one of the things that are interesting, I thought it was interesting, is that Vladimir Putin, again, we talked about this on Friday, again, is threatening full-scale World War III if NATO sends troops to Ukraine. So this is an Armageddon alert. This is real. This is not conspiracy theory, I repeat. This is real. Real warning. Vladimir Putin is now saying the full-scale World War III will take place if NATO sends troops to Ukraine, which at this time they are preparing to do just that. They're preparing to do just that. We've been talking about France. We have been talking about Macron. We talked about Waterloo, a song that the Lord woke me up with a few days ago, and I was not aware of anything going on with Macron when that happened. I learned later, a couple of days later, that Macron was getting ready to send troops to Ukraine, and now it seems like NATO is back in that move. So this is serious, people. This is serious. This is serious. This is what the Kabbalah mafia, right, wants to do. Then they're going to do it. They're going to do what they want to do. This is what they want. They want a war that will whittle down the population of the earth and help them, you know, be able to control the masses a little better. So this is what's happening. Also, the other thing that is interesting that I wanted to bring out, and this is really important, is a case that is taking place at the Supreme Court. It started yesterday for free speech. And so this is going to affect our free speech on the internet. And I believe it's going to affect our free speech, period, the First Amendment of the Constitution. And so this is what has boiled down to in America, where even the First Amendment to the Constitution, right, the right to express yourself freely, right, is in jeopardy. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it that the nation where in our national anthem we say the land of the free, the home of the brave, who would have thunk it that nation would stoop to such a low level that now it has to go to the Supreme Court, a case that involves the First Amendment. And shocking what is happening in this country. I was just thinking the other day, I was just praying and thinking, you know, I just don't know. I was telling the Lord, I just don't know how much longer you can allow this. I mean, I understand mercy and I understand grace. And many times we have pleaded for mercy and grace. But he has come to a point where not just in the, I mean, it's not just this country, folks. It's not just America. People get on this role of America, the Babylon, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's not just America. Babylon is the whole system. Europe, every country in Europe, Australia, they're all in it. Canada, even countries in Central and South America, the Middle East, Asia, it's the whole world is in it. The whole world is just running to it. And I'll be sharing some news that will confirm that. And so, and I was just sharing with the Lord, you know, you're going to have to do something about this. And then I said to him, you know, I realized that when your judgment comes, it affects the good and the evil. And, but, you know, maybe, and I was kind of doing the Abraham thing, you know, I was kind of trying to deal with the Lord. And sometimes I have done that successfully. Sometimes I have not. But I was dealing with him. I said, Laura, maybe you can be selective judgment. You know, do selective judgment where these individuals are. So you spare your lambs from, you know, from such horrific judgments that are coming. And I know they're coming. But, you know, we are in such a time, people. The Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And sometimes judgments are the same. And it's the way it is. It's the way it is. But the thing is that this case in the Supreme Court is going to be very, very important. So I encourage you to pray about this, and that you would keep this in really serious prayer and intercession, because depending on what happens here, we're going to see the ripples go through this country and probably the whole world, because I think this is going to impact the whole world. Either we keep our First Amendment and we can talk freely, and if this is shut down, it's going to affect the whole world. Trust me, it's going to affect the whole world. So these are a couple of things that I wanted to bring you, and then I got some other topics I'll share with you. But at this time,
well, it's really interesting, and as we watch them try to implement their world war, if you will, and I'm not sure they can figure out which flash is going to go first, you know. But ironically, Hal Turner posted a report out of Russia that said that Russia had proved that mercenaries in Ukraine that are fighting the Russians are from Poland, Georgia, the U.S., the U.K., Canada, Romania, Germany, and France. That's already proved. And so basically, Hal Turner posted information, said the largest NATO base in Europe being rushed into construction in Romania to hold 10,000 NATO troops. And of course, I've been mentioning that for about 6 or 7 months now, that they were working with Romania, the Biden administration, to get a big military facility there for NATO, because that's right next to Russia. So we've got that ongoing, and it continues to go. And then ironically, you were talking about the Constitution and our rights, which basically we don't have any. I mean, you can say the Constitution's there, but if your entire federal government doesn't abide by it, you really don't have one. I mean, you know, stay in your bubble, delude yourself, you know, continue to think you do, but you don't. And here's a perfect example. March 19th, that happens to be today, Tuesday, War Room and others received a speech, if you will, from Peter Navarro. He's a former aide to Donald Trump in the Trump administration. And they basically, the scenario is that they decided to go after Peter Navarro and the January 6th committee, and this is my words, set him up, and he didn't fall for it and refused to testify, and so they convicted him of not showing up to their subpoena. And he gave it was about 30 minutes or more, 35 minutes, I guess you could say, a rundown of what all he had been through with this administration and how corrupt and unconstitutional it was, but yet it didn't stop them from putting him in prison. And matter of fact, he's, the war room says Dr. Peter Navarro put into prison by Democrats. Now they're coming for Trump and you next. And, well, that's not a joke. I shouldn't have to qualify those words, really. I mean, it's obvious. Anybody that's got an eye on what's happening, it's obvious, okay? Now, here's what Peter Navarro said. I made some notes, and this is what he said before he walked across the street into a federal prison that handles only felons. The whole prison's full of felons. And what is he convicted of? A misdemeanor. Now, listen, I was in law enforcement for years, and I know that all prisons, federal included, work diligently to not put misdemeanor offenders in with felony offenders. It's been a policy for years. Well, they just violated that. Of course, America doesn't appear to care. But here's his words. Here's his last words before he walked across the street and surrendered into the prison. Says, as I go to federal prison today, March 19th, ask yourself this question. Why is Peter Navarro, who is convicted only of a misdemeanor, being placed in federal prison with all other prisoners convicted of felonies? I will have a target on my back. If they can put me into prison without allowing my defense in the case, then they can do this to you all without allowing Constitution to be active. They will do this to Donald Trump before the 2024 election, and this will not bode well for this nation. Do you hear that, Joe Biden? That was his last words.
Yeah, the Constitution is being railroaded out of the window because these people are not interested in doing anything that follows the Constitution, but only what they want to do to silence their critics and those who are exposing things that they are doing that are just downright illegal. But there's no doubt in my mind that they put Navarro where they put him in prison in hopes that he might be harmed or killed in there. That's why they do this, putting somebody who hasn't committed a felony in with all of these felons. That's extremely dangerous. And I think this is something that they do on a regular basis. If they want to get rid of somebody, just put them in with very hardened criminals and just hope that something happens to them and they get injured or killed. And that is what is happening right now. On another note, I've been, checking the headlines every day, and one of the things that is very, very sad right now is what is going on in Haiti. Right now, the former Haitian prime minister said that Haiti is now void of law and order, and there have been 4 power station attacks there, and the nation has been plunged into darkness. And this leaves about 1.5 million residents on the brink of famine. They are bringing Haitians here, quite a few of them. Some of them, I read, had crossed the border trying to get out of Haiti into the Dominican Republic. The two countries are together on an island, and they were caught and then sent back to Haiti. But unfortunately, this is, I believe, a precursor to what we're going to be seeing in more and more countries as lawlessness takes over. Famine. You're going to have famine and total lawlessness. It's already beginning in America, and it is just so grievous to see what these people are going through. It is just absolutely a horror show. But you talk about the loss and lack of law and order. I saw one article this morning. I don't remember where it was, but someone who was trying to run squatters out of their home. The homeowner was arrested. Can you believe that? the ones that are committing the crime face no penalties for it, but a homeowner who is trying to protect their home and keep these squatters out and run them out, they were arrested. So that, to me, is something that just shows you what is happening right now in our society, and I'm sure it's happening in many countries around the world. It is just unprecedented, everything flip-flop. Good is evil, and evil is good, and if you're a law-abiding citizen, you're a terrorist or whatever, and if you're a criminal, hey, you're okay. You're okay, and I'm okay, as the saying goes.
Well, this is the modus operandi of a communist takeover. And, of course, I've shared this so many times before that it becomes repetitious. So I don't want to get into that mode. But I've said it many times before. Some have listened, and some have not. But that is how it was in Cuba. In Cuba, they would arrest decent people. Decent people that all they did was break one insignificant law, one little law that they created so that they could do this very thing. They created laws that so that people, when people break them, you know, insignificant things. And I'm not going to get into the details, but I could give you hundreds of details that they did in Cuba. They made up silly laws, and then when you broke them, they could arrest you. They didn't have to, but they could. And if there was somebody that didn't like you, they would. The committees of the revolution, which, by the way, I heard rumors that they're starting over here now in the state of Washington, and it's getting serious. So now it's gone to the next phase. Remember when I told you, when you begin to see the committees of the revolution or something to that effect, be very aware that communism now is taking roots in this country. And now we are seeing it in the state of Washington. And there's other states following suit, New York and so forth. And California is following suit, and many, many others, Chicago, and those blue states are going to be all in the same category. And so these people make laws, insignificant laws, so that, you know, people break them, because people break those silly laws. They're so stupid that anybody breaks them. And so when you break them, they can arrest you. And then they throw you in jail with hardened criminals. That's the way it was in Cuba. Political prisoners in prison with hardened criminals. And I could tell you horror stories. I'm not going to. I have already done that. So I will be repeating myself. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that anymore. If by now the people have not gotten it, they never will. Now, listen to what is happening now. And I apologize for my voice. It's not doing good today. And I've not been feeling great today. So now this is the news coming out of Australia. Australia signs the WEF treaty to close all major banks and switch to fully cashless society. So Australia now is joined. There are a few other countries that have already signed that same treaty to close all major banks and switch to fully cashless society. So Australia has signed, I'm reading from the article, like the World Economic Forum treaty that will see all major banks in the country close as citizens are forced to transition to a fully cashless society. And BankWest, a subsidiary of the Commonwealth Bank of Australia, is the first bank to close its branches and move the remaining 15 CBA branches in an effort to go fully digital by October 2024. Now, there has been this report before, and I'm going to leave you with this, and then I'll turn it over to you guys, that when this happens in America, it's going to happen. Banks are going to close on Friday, and then, on Monday, when they're supposed to open, the banks are not going to open. The banks will not open. And they will say that your money now has been become a part of the digital system, and you are not allowed to withdraw your money. And this is going to happen first in all the major banks, and then it's going to happen to the little ones, or the little ones will just fall by the wayside, one of the two, or both. So this is happening already in Australia. Remember, Australia is the place where they test pilot all of these programs first before they bring it to the West.
Well, that's very true, and I can't remember his name, but he was a younger Cuban that had got to America, and he was on America's Voice News the other day, and he was saying that he was so shocked. He said, absolutely, that what he sees in America now is worse than Cuba. And he was basically talking about the ability to say what you wanted to say and believe what you wanted to believe, because he says the powers that be in America now that run this nation are determined you will not speak and you will not say what you believe. You will do as you're told. And he said it's worse than it is in Cuba. And he said, I came here and I can't believe it, that it's worse than Cuba where I came from. He reminded me of someone in their late 20s, so that just gives you an age, and he was from Cuba. So it just goes to show you, you don't always escape. And I'm wondering, as we are under now, and we basically are under communism in this nation, you wonder, what are those people that fled to America to escape? It's probably better in their country than it is here. But, you know, that's just for a thought. One thing that was interesting, though, that I wanted to bring out was a recent comment, and that was that came up yesterday on America's Voice News. It was late in the evening, and they had they've had a lot of problems in Chicago, you know, with shootings and et cetera, et cetera. But they had a pastor on by the name of David Lowry, and he's from Chicago. And he was warning the people to prepare for great trouble in Chicago. He said it's a spiritual war. And he said, you better stand up now or you won't be able to stand up. And then a Reverend Bob Israel came forward, and he said he was well aware of the comments on Trump about a bloodbath being related to the auto industry in America. And, of course, you know, mainstream went insane and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they came out, well, if you don't elect Trump, then there'll be a bloodbath in America. But anyway, with this being said, this reverend, and his name was Bob Israel, he's a black guy. So was the prior pastor. He was black. But they were warning, and they were warning all the Chicago people. They said the powers that be are the government. And even the government of Chicago wants fighting to erupt between he said they're really not migrants. He said they're illegal aliens. They're illegal invaders. But they want the people in Chicago to begin to fight them, and they want us to kill them, and they want them to kill us, and then that gives them power to rule with impunity. They just take over through martial law, and you have no rights anymore of any kind. They can take your home. They can take your food. They can take your family. They can take everything. And so he said that's what they've got planned. He said, but this is going to be worse. He said, than they even have planned. He said, and told the people of Chicago, I don't know how many million are in that area, but he said, and this is, and I'll give their names again. If you want to look them up, Pastor David Lowry and Reverend Bob Israel from Chicago. They said, we're warning you, there is going to be a bloodbath, a real bloodbath. He said, because the people in Chicago are not going to stand by any longer with the invasion of Chicago. We are going to fight them. It's coming out into the streets, and he said, it's really going to be bad. And he said, America's not listening.
No, not at all, and it is getting bad. I'm sure people have seen videos and pictures of the takeover of cities all over America of the homeless and also drug addicts and so forth. And it's just horrific when you go down the street and see all of this activity going on, drug activity, buying and selling drugs and all of the tents of the homeless who are out on the street. And of course, a lot of these immigrants who come in, and there are some that are just looking for a better life. They're not criminals or anything like that. And when they get here, they see how horrible it is. They're immediately, you know, put out on the street. They have nowhere to live or anything like that. And I have heard that there are many of them who have said, we are going back to where we came from because it was better there. As bad as it is there, it is better there than it is here. And I'm always praying for these immigrants that are coming to America just looking for a better life and find this out and decide to go home. And I pray for them that they get home safely, because there have been videos done by Michael Yon and others who have actually walked the trails coming up from South America through Central America and up into our border and across the border. And there are bandits along the way who rob these people, who rape the women. It is just horrific. So you're walking through the jungle and you don't know what's out there. So this is just horrific for these people. And I, you know, my heart goes out to them because they're looking for something better. They may have tried to do this legally, but I've heard that it just takes years to get through all the paperwork. And they just say to themselves, I'm not going to wait any longer. I'm just going to go up and take my chances. And of course, many of them don't realize that they're just going to go on the street when they get into America. The only ones the government wants to put up in hotels and give them debit cards and telephones or whatever are basically the criminals that they plan on controlling, using these people to vote Democratic, I guess, if we have the election this year, and giving them all kinds of money. They've practically bankrupted New York City, as that city is putting these people up in hotels and so forth, and all the money they're giving them. New York is on its way out because of this, and other cities where they are accepting these people. It's just horrific. So this is the real beginning of the downfall of America, when you have this kind of thing happening. And I do hope that people get fed up with it and stop this. Stop this massive immigration or the influx of illegal aliens that are just tearing this country apart and bankrupting these cities where they end up.
Yeah, it's the situation is getting dire, because the infrastructure cannot sustain the level of people coming in. Every day, it just cannot, and everybody's feeling it. Everybody's feeling the crunch, and this has been done by design. They want to basically collapse the system. This is intentional. They want to collapse the system here. They want to collapse the system in Europe, with all the immigrants coming in there from Muslim nations. They want to change the, if you will, society. They want to change the society. They want to change the morality of everything. This is how you do it. You bring a massive amount of influx. This is the easiest way to bring that about. You tear down all values, which is what they're doing. They're destroying the statues of the Civil War and the heroes of old in this country. Those old values are gone. They destroy Christianity. They take prayer out of school. They begin to replace, the nativity scenes with statues of Satan, Baphomet, and on it goes. They begin to, you know, corrupt the children, corrupt the school system with all of this. Ungodly teachings and books. I mean, this is what they're doing. They're following it. They're following the book. To the T. This is the takeover, communist takeover of a nation, and they're doing it. And so, do you celebrate them for doing it? No. Are you celebrating them, Augusto? No. I am just telling you that they're being smarter at it. and they're being more persistent at it, and they're being more adamant and relentless about it than the good people are. The good people are just not, they don't care. They don't care. All they care about is, you know, drink their beer, look at their football game, and be able to watch their soap opera and go shopping whenever they want, you know, and that's basically all they care about. Now, some are beginning to feel the crunch, and the economy is not good. The economy is not good, and so they're feeling it. They're feeling the pinch and the wallet. And so some of them are beginning to say, hey, what's going on? But anyways, I wanted to touch on something else that's going on while all of these hoopla is taking place. There's something going on, unawares to the eyes of the people, and that is Obama has now a mystery. He had a mystery meeting at the British Prime Minister home, and he's on a trip there, and he was caught on camera on Monday entering and exiting Downing Street, 10 Downing Street in London, just the home of British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. And so what was this about? Why is meetings with leaders? And so there was a little article that was written by Laura Loomer, and she tweeted, why is Obama having private meetings with world leaders? And then she added, glad it has now been confirmed Obama is running the country. Guess Biden was too sick Monday or today to take the trip to the UK. His body is shutting down. It's only a matter of time now. And then she goes on to say he no longer, if you're referring to Obama, he no longer trusts Biden, and he is handling it himself. And that is because Obama has never stopped being POTUS. He's now pulling the strings with Biden. And so this is going on right now. What is he talking about? Is he sharing some things with these people, these prime ministers, the world shakers? What is he talking about with them? And so could he be talking about his fourth term? Don't be too surprised. Do not be too surprised.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I've been saying all along, he's not out of the game and never has been. As you said, he's been running the Joe Biden administration, and I guess he's ready for his comeback. You know, you got to finish off America sooner or later. And he started it basically with his regime. So I guess he's going to hang around and finish it. As clearly both Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro, even as Peter Navarro went into prison, said they're going to do this to Trump. They're going to imprison Trump before he sees the 2024 election come to pass. And the reports that I saw this morning was basically said that, let me find it here. Yeah, this is on the War Room. This is Bannon today. The deep state, Democrats and rhinos will stop at nothing to stop Donald Trump. A plan is already known how they will not verify or certify the coming Trump win, then violence in the land. And I find it odd that this time frame and just really 4 days after the X eclipse, we actually see this new civil war moving coming out. They actually had they showed this film, Civil War, at a festival, and some of the shocking comments were just unbelievable. People were saying that this Civil War scenario was horrific beyond words. And, well, I guess unless something changes, we're headed there. However, let me add this. I was in prayer yesterday, and the Lord began to deal with me, and he knew that, you know, I'm not looking forward to what's coming, and I know what's coming, but sometimes I think prayers change things or you know, cause a different happening, et cetera, et cetera. But I basically felt like I was told by the Lord yesterday that your prayers will not change anything against my coming judgment. It is my judgment, and you will not change it. And so there are times our prayers have zero effect, okay? I know people don't want to believe that, especially people of faith, but I have found it to be very, very true because, well, let's just say my cat with cancer, you know, we had him 16 years, and he was part of the family, and it started in one ear. We had that ear took off. Then a year later, we had to have the other ear taken off because the cancer had spread to that ear. And as much as I prayed, okay, as much as I prayed, I couldn't keep this cancer completely away from him. I couldn't heal it from him. He finally got it in his nose. It was going up into his eyes and his face, and it was unstoppable. So with that being said, that was the thing that crossed my mind when I felt like the Lord said to me, you cannot stop this, what's coming. It's my judgment. And I felt like, okay, I can, without a doubt, I can certainly understand that. No more than I could prevent the cancer from spreading and taking away from me that wonderful cat, and he was a precious cat. I can probably also say now that I really truly believe that I cannot stop what's coming to this nation. And as Augusto says, it'll circulate the world too, but the picture's not good, folks.
Yeah, we have to, when we do pray, we have to, I think, inquire of the Lord. If you're praying for something and you're not sure, you know, if the prayer is going to be answered or not. I mean, with your cat, Larry, I'm sure you absolutely believed that you could get him healed by praying for him, yet it didn't happen. And this is something that we don't really understand, that sometimes we can pray for something and it happens. Maybe not immediately, but we get it answered, and other things we don't. And we just don't understand it. But concerning what is happening to America, this is judgment against America. I mean, the influx of all of these illegal aliens, I believe, is a result of what America has done. All of the countries that America has invaded illegally, all of the foreign governments that have been toppled by America because they just didn't like the leaders because they couldn't control them. And, you know, we see everything that America has done to other countries now happening to America. And I believe this is God's judgment, and it's something that cannot be prayed away. But we can pray for other things, for people, to pray that the Lord will have mercy on us and other people in the midst of this judgment, and just hope that more and more people will repent of their sins and will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ so that the Lord can help them. If they don't, then the Lord can't. So this is something that just needs to be thought through whenever we're praying for something. I do this also whenever I'm praying for something to be stopped or at least delayed. You know, I inquire of the Lord, should I pray this or not? And he'll tell us if we are to go ahead and pray for it or not, because he has ways of answering prayer that I think we don't understand, and we'll never understand until we get to heaven, and then we can have long talks with the Lord to find out why things happened the way they happened. But for the time being, we need to keep praying and inquire of the Lord whether he wants us to pray for certain things. And sometimes I've had this happen. I'll be praying on one thing, and all of a sudden something will jump into my mind where he wants me to pray for a certain person or their family or a situation. And when that happens, I immediately stop and I start praying for that. He will tell us at times what he wants us to be praying for or who he wants us to pray for. And that is what we face as prayer warriors and intercessors. We have to be open to whatever it is he wants us to pray for. Sometimes if you don't know what to pray for, ask the Lord. He'll give you something.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, this topic of prayer and answers to prayer is a very vast, very deep subject. And everybody has different experiences with it. And it's something that we just cannot explain. I have seen people in the same meeting. I've been preaching out when I used to do a lot of traveling over America. And in one meeting, the same meeting, two wheelchairs were in opposite sides of the room, and two women at the same age, two wheelchairs. They couldn't get up on the wheelchair. They were sick. And I prayed. I felt the anointing of God to pray for that, and I prayed. And the lady on the left side, when I said, if you felt the power of God go through you, stand up. And she stood up from that wheelchair and walked around like nothing. Healed, completely healed. And the other one on the right side did not. And I felt so terrible for that woman. But it's not me. It's not me that does this. It's God and their faith. And so this is one of those things. This is one of those mysteries that we don't have time to address in this plan, you know, at this time. But it is one of those mysteries that, you know, at what point, you know, why sometimes it happens and sometimes it don't happen. The other day, you know, we have our granddaughter here for a few days, and we have a little cat outside. You know, she's gray, and she's kind of old too, and she was sickly. I could see she was sick. She was staying there on the ground for hours. She wouldn't move, and she's usually very agile cat. And so my granddaughter went and, you know, tried to pet her, and she would always run away from her whenever she saw my granddaughter approaching, you know. And at this time, she stayed there, and she wouldn't go anywhere. And I saw that she was very sick. So I tell my granddaughter, I said, sweetheart, pray for her. Pray for the cat. And she did. She closed her little eyes, and she prayed. And all of a sudden, the cat got up. So. There you go. I mean, you know, we just don't know. We just don't know about these things. So what do we do? What do we do, Augusto, in the face of sometimes it happens and sometimes it don't? Well, all I can tell you is what I used to teach the students when I taught in the Bible school here for 3 years. I taught a class on signs and wonders, you know, on healing and all that stuff. I told him, I said, if you pray for somebody or you know, an animal or whatever, and it doesn't happen, keep praying. Don't stop praying. Keep praying. It didn't happen that time. For whatever reason, it didn't happen. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen again. So we have to keep going. We have to keep praying. We have to keep fighting. We have to keep believing. And sometimes we're going to get victories, and sometimes we're not going to get victories. And I have seen the Lord heal me many times of many things, and there are sometimes he does not. Why is that? Well, I wish I had the answer to that. But, you know, just because sometimes it doesn't happen, it doesn't mean we are not going to, or we're going to stop doing it. We're going to stop praying. So we got to keep praying. And, you know, the judgment, I agree, the judgment that's coming on this nation, no one can stop it. And the whole world, no one can stop it. But what we can pray, like I was sharing in the beginning of the program, is we can ask the Lord, and at least I do. I don't know if some of you out there, you know, think it's heresy to do that, but I do. I kind of talk to the Lord, and, you know, I need to see it like that. And I said, Lord, could this judgment please be selective? Selective judgment, Father. It is not right to judge the wicked or to judge the righteous with the wicked. It is not right to destroy the righteous with the wicked. And so I ask for selective judgment, and I believe this is biblical. We saw what happened there in the land of Egypt, the land of Goshen, how God brought judgment on the land of Egypt. The whole land of Egypt was under that judgment of God. And yet there in Goshen, the Israelites were safe. And I believe this is going to happen again. And so we've been teaching that on Thursdays. And so we just got to keep going. We got to keep believing the Lord that he is going to protect us. Those that are his, those that love him, and those that are staying close to him, are walking in faith, in covenant with him, the best they know how, the best they can, he's going to protect them. And so this is going to take place, and this is going to take place maybe sooner rather than later. And what the people need to understand is that, you know, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We don't belong here. And so if we do not make it, if for some reason we do not make it, when this judgment falls, hey, we have a better tabernacle in heaven. Okay? We have a much better tabernacle in heaven. So, you know, we have the blessed hope. So it no matter how it turns out, it's going to turn out good. The worst thing that can happen, though, is this. And this is the thing that concerns me, is the thing that happened in Cuba. That judgment falls, but not the people don't die. The people just live in misery for decades, in misery, in bondage, and in torture. The real peril that we have to be concerned about.
Well, I was recently reading Bobby Akert's new book series, Collapse of America, titled Behind the Gates, Book One. And I see now why he brought it out early, and he did, actually. He brought his series out early. I've only got Book One because Book Two will be out, I guess, the end of this month. But in Book One, as I've said before, Bobby Akert, he's an incredible author, end-time author especially, and a lot of his books seem prophetic. They remind me of the Tom Clancy novels where there's really embedded information if you read closely. But I was kind of shocked with this Book One that just came out. And I see now why he rushed to get it on out is because almost every page in this book, sudden fulfillment is happening in this fiction novel. In other words, it's turning, or I guess I can say it's just almost overnight, it's become a faction novel and not a fiction novel. And this is really about the collapse of the U.S. And he ties in completely the communist movement, the government takeover, the government coming against, you know, the patriots, the conservatives, the MAGA people, you know, really anyone that would, you know, talk righteousness at all and actually coming against the First Amendment to a great degree. And all of this is almost his entire book that was written as fiction is now faction, and it's fact. And he also covers the immigration, or I hate to use that term. I really don't like saying immigrants or migrants. They're not. They're illegal invaders is what they are. And, you know, I know, Chuck, you delineate or separate, you know, some of them coming for a better life. But to me, everyone that comes across our border illegal are illegal. Now, maybe that's law enforcement over years and years and years speaking from me, but that's what I believe. But Behind the Gates, I mean, it's shocking, the novel he just put out, because almost overnight it's become fact. And this is, I guess, where we are.
Yeah, there are, I'm sure, many people who have written novels, supposedly fiction novels, that talk about things that are coming to pass. I believe the Lord has given these people insights as to what to expect. And we see that happening right now. And of course, these so-called elites, the globalists, they indicate what they plan on doing. And we have seen it for decades in TV shows and movies and so forth. And it's all pretty much right out there in the open, but most people don't realize it when they watch a movie and think, "Why, that's really interesting. I hope that doesn't happen." Well, if they have put it in a movie, then more than likely it will happen, unless people start waking up and start doing what they can to try to stop it, or at least to reduce the effects of these things that they're doing. It is quite something. I believe these people have the ability to time travel, and the one reason I do is because of all of the predictions excuse me, that have been made on the Simpsons TV show. There have been numerous videos on YouTube talking about this and showing these predictions that appeared in the program years before they actually happened. So this is another subject, but the aspect of time travel is very interesting. I don't know how they do it. I wish I could, but there are confirmations out there all over the place indicating that they do know what is coming and they plan for it.
Yeah. Well, also remember that they do have psychic warriors that, they're also called remote viewers. Remember, the military had a massive plan with remote viewing, and then they went hush-hush. And if there are private companies that do this, I just have to believe that the government has some serious remote viewers that are very, very good, very effective at seeing the future. And of course, there was Dr. Doom, that did this, and he taught it, and he had a school, and then he shut down and went, under the radar. But the government has this program. You can bet your life on it. He has these psychic warriors that probably are trained to to transport themselves and see, things. And probably they have it's in the military, excuse me. And of course, we're now getting into beyond the veil territory here. But they probably have it. They have escalated it, a few levels and mingled it or mixed it with astral projection and satanic stuff, because the military is saturated with Satanism and anyways, what I'm trying to say is that they, even if they're not able to time travel, as you were sharing, Chuck, which they may very well be able to, but what I'm saying is they do have for a fact, and this is confirmed, that they have for a fact these remote viewers that can indeed see the future, and they can travel to the future through those remote viewers and sessions, and so. Anyway, they are seeing things, and this is probably why they are able to share some of these things in, cartoons like The Simpsons and others. Well, we are final comments from Chuck and Larry, and then we'll wrap it up.
Well, I don't have all the details, but I did receive a notice from Stan Deo. And if you'll remember, Stan Deo and another man, a scientist, created the EMP devices to protect either your vehicles or your homes or your devices from being struck by an EMP, whether it was the sun or whether it was a nuclear blast. And it really got big, and their EMP devices were tested against the government's EMP devices that they put on military's equipment and were much greater at their effective activity than the military grade. They were better. And then now, and I don't have all the details, I'm just going to say, I did get information that the scientist that was helping Stan Deo with it suddenly had a massive heart attack. We understand, I don't know the details, but he was suddenly, he dropped and is gone. There's been a hostile takeover of the EMP devices, manufacturing and I guess the devices themselves. And so I guess Stan, it appears, is out in the cold. Somebody didn't want these devices on the market. Somebody didn't want them out there. And it appears that that's been stopped now. And I, keep Stan Deo in your prayers. He keeps his foot in the gears that keep going, and they come after him too.
That's too bad. I did get one of those EMP devices for my car, and I'm glad I got one before all this happened. But yeah, that's how these people operate. If you come out with technology that will protect people from something that they want to do to you, then they will come after the person. And this is what happened years ago. I don't remember the man's name, but he was a very brilliant engineer who figured out how to break down water and use the, I think it was the hydrogen, to power a vehicle. So you could have a vehicle that would run on water. And as the story goes, he was contacted by Saudi Arabia, the powers that be over there, and they offered him $1 billion for the technology that he had developed, because they wanted to get it off the market and get rid of it because it was threatening the oil industry. And he refused to do it, and as can be expected, shortly thereafter he was found dead. They bumped him off and stole his technology, although there are other people that are developing that now too and have figured out how to do it, but they'll never get it on the market, that's for sure.
Yeah, I heard about another person recently, as recent as late last year, beginning to come. As a matter of fact, I heard about it right around the time of the conference last year in July, or right before July, I heard about it. And there was this person from South America, I can't remember the country, but he had developed that same technology, and he was working with others to bring it to, you know, to fruition, right? To bring it, to incorporate it and to do something with it. And there was a lot of talk about that. And then all of a sudden, silence, like it never existed. So yeah, they are very protective about this. And the other reason, as you were sharing, Larry, is that came to my heart, to my spirit, is remember the last time we brought in Stan Dale, we did an interview with him. He was talking about this project that he was involved with, which had to do with providing free energy for the tribulation, for the people. And he talked about some very, very, very interesting things, and we even told him, you know, we're going to be praying for you, Stan, because I know that what you're dealing with here is very dangerous, and now you share about that, so I'm not happy to hear that, but it was expected. Well, we're going to take a short break, then get your elements ready, and when we come back, we're going to have communion together. This is the Mailbag Show with Larry Taylor, Chuck Wilson, and yours truly, Augusto Perez. We'll be right back.
Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. John 15:4-5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing.
welcome back. If you have your elements ready, get ready. We're going to receive communion. And we like to read a scripture from the first book of Corinthians when we do the communion. And we take communion seriously. And we believe it is a very important thing to do, especially as we get closer and closer to the end of all things and the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord. We believe that this is something that should be done often. We do it every week. We encourage people to do it also on their own, at home, and in small groups. We have posted on our website how to do it, and we have posted these things on our website, theappearance.com. We have posted this particular teaching under the teachings page. You go to theappearance.com. And then you go to the teachings page, and there in the teachings page, you're going to see there, as you scroll down there at the top, we have a few things. We have my favorite quotes, and then under that, we have promises of power and protection, audio. And then under there, we have the water baptism, how to perform a water baptism, and that is... I take you through the process of water baptism, how to baptize a person. I have received numerous letters from people asking me how, you know, if they want to baptize someone that they don't have a church that they can trust nearby them, and they would like to baptize their family, their children. And so this is how you do it. We have this water baptism audio there, how to perform a water baptism. And then right under there, we have the, you know, two articles. It says, read these two articles before baptism, why you must be baptized in water and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the person that is going to be baptized and the baptizer need to read those two articles before. And then right next to it is another audio, which is how to conduct Holy Communion. And I teach you how to, you know, how to have communion in your own home. And so this is going to become important material for the days ahead when this program may not be available. We may not be able to do these programs. We'll see what happens in the Supreme Court case. But again, keep your eyes on it, and we'll touch on it later on in this program. Keep your eyes on that case. So now let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to read a portion of scripture there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read... verses 20, starting in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. And therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So as we take a moment to examine ourselves, repent of any sins we may have committed, forgive those that may have sinned against us, let's take a moment to do that. And then when we come back, have your elements ready, and we'll have communion together. Father dear, we just thank you for these elements that we are about to take. This piece of bread representing your body that was broken for us, and this fruit of the vine representing your blood that was shed at Calvary for the remission of all our sins. We thank you. And we bless these elements. We bless the Father. And we bless everyone that is going to partake with us communion today. We enter this covenant in faith, believing, Lord, that you're faithful, Lord, to fulfill that which is written in the covenant. And we ask you, Father, that today you would touch each and every one of us. You would grant us health, healing, restoration, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and forgiveness of all sins. Amen. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Receive the body of Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Receive it, Lord. I receive it. Thank you. I receive your healing. I receive your touch. After the same manner, he also took the cup after he had eaten, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. These do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As we partake of this fruit of the vine, symbolic of the shed blood of Yeshua, we ask, Father dear, that you would cleanse your people, all of us, for everything, all sins, trespasses, iniquities, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And just thank you. Just thank him for a moment. Just thank him for a moment. He's worthy. He's worthy of praise. You are worthy, Father. You are worthy. We thank you. I thank you, Jesus. Only you are worthy, Master. Only you are worthy. Praise God. All right. Well, we're going to open the mailbag, and we have some here. We have not much, but we have some. And we're going to first read one from Mary.
Dear Augusto, I am requesting prayer for my husband Ronaldo. Doctors think he may have Meniere's disease, which has to do with fluid buildup in the inner ear. However, he needs to be diagnosed by an ENT specialist, and we are told this could take up to 14 months. He is suffering terrible pressure in his head, ringing in his ears, dizziness and nausea. Gets very little sleep. We pray every day for healing and thank Jesus Christ for all he has done in our lives. Ronaldo is a kind and loving man and has great faith in our Lord. Thank you for your ministry, which blesses so many. Love in Christ Jesus. Mary Bonovingo.
Yes, thank you for writing, Mary. We come in unity, Father dear, to pray for Mary's husband, Ronaldo. We speak to that disease in his ear, this pressure buildup, the fluid buildup, and we just pray right now. We declare it. We decree. We speak to that ear. We speak to the ringing of the ear, and we command it to just subside, just leave that ear, and the pressure to be released from that ear, both ears, that's causing dizziness and nausea, and is disturbing Ronaldo's sleep. We pray healing in the name of Jesus on both ears, that the power of the Lord goes through both ears and releases the pressure in both ears, And that that feeling of nausea and dizziness and ringing in the ears will subside until it disappears. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray this and we agree on this in Jesus' name. Now, if you would put your your fingers in your ears, Rinaldo, both ears, put your fingers on both ears in Jesus' name right there and just believe it, okay? And just believe it. And I'm going to I'm going to count to five, and that will give a time to the angel of the Lord to do his work in your ears by faith. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Praise God. Remove your fingers from your ears. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for writing, Mary. I'd like to hear an update if you have one, okay? God bless you.
Thank you, Mary.
Amen.
Here's one from Joe.
Dear Brother Augusto, blessing of God to you and Larry and Chuck. I catch all your broadcasts on Brenchen.com usually a day or two after they are posted. Of particular interest was the recent one about the Waterloo song coming to you. Having had a similar incident, I agree with you that was a prophetic utterance from the Holy Spirit concerning the France and Russia conflict. My incident was also at night several years ago. I suddenly awoke with that old rock and roll song by Eddie Money, Two Tickets to Paradise. Out of nowhere, that song started playing over and over in my head. I finally got back to sleep, and in a dream I found myself on a road that ended at a building of some sort with an elevator. The elevator opened up and this angelic being invited me in. We went up in the elevator and exited at the top floor. Upon exiting, this angelic being pointed for me to walk over to what looked like an observation window. I looked out the window and lo and behold, there it was, paradise. Indescribable beauty with trees of shimmering gold and silver and colors I can't describe. And so many other amazing features of hills around a harbor with amazing buildings and ships, it literally took my breath away. And then I woke up. Just wanted to share that with you. Now for today. After listening to the March 15th broadcast in the evening of the 16th, I went to bed, and that night God gave me a dream. I was on a baseball field playing the position of catcher. The pitcher threw a couple of balls at me, of which I totally missed, and I threw a couple back at him that were terrible throws. It was painfully obvious that I did not play the game well. Not being a sports fan, this came as no surprise. But after the round of toss and catch, someone pointed to the sky and I saw something big and black fly by. It went from right to left so fast I did not catch what it was. However, it flew by again from left to right, this time slower, and I could see that it was two big black swans. They were flying very close to each other, one behind the other, almost touching. Then I awoke. Not putting this out there as prophetic or anything, just mentioning it so we can be on the watch out for some sort of black swan events in the near future, especially since baseball season starts in just a couple of weeks. God bless you all and thank you for the work you are doing. Joe Hammond.
Yeah, that is very, very, very good, Joe. Appreciate you sharing that, writing in and sharing that. And yeah, that one there, the first one that you had, is really awesome. That song you heard, Two Tickets to Paradise, and then all of a sudden, right? All of a sudden, you were taken. You were taken to paradise. And I really believe that. I believe you were taken to paradise. And so, yeah, and I know you were taken to paradise because I've been there. I've been there. I was just, I was beginning to take my first step to the Lord. I wasn't even saved yet. And the Lord took me to that place. So I know what you're talking about. And that is exactly right. And indescribable beauty and the colors that you cannot describe. And so, and then the other one that you had there, also is very, very interesting. You said that you were playing catcher and you were catching a couple of balls. you not being a sports fan, and really is even more amazing that you were there and yet you know, you're not a sports fan, you don't watch games and baseball games and things of that nature. But it's very interesting that you were there, which tells me, and I concur with you, that something is going to happen during baseball season. Now, I don't know if it's going to be at the beginning of the baseball season, because it could be, but it could be during regular season. But I tend to believe it's going to be during the beginning season. In other words, during the exhibition games, which start the end of this month and then go through April, and then in April they begin their regular games. So something, again, it takes us back to April, the April 8th, eclipse and all that stuff. It all ties together. And so, and then you saw two big black swans and one behind the other. And now this, of course, you talk about the fact that it could be a black swan event. And I totally concur with you that this could indeed be a black swan event. And also, interestingly, excuse me, the swan is symbolic of the sun and the moon. Okay, the sun and the moon. And so anyway, this is getting very, very interesting, because we're going to have a solar eclipse, and we're also going to have a blood moon. And then you see the two black swans, which are symbolic of the sun and the moon, and also is symbolic of a black swan event. I mean, this is, you just can't make this kind of stuff up. And so I totally concur with you that this is prophetic. And I'm telling you, it is prophetic. I know you did. You mentioned that, you're not saying it is prophetic, but it is prophetic. It is prophetic. And so this kind of as a warning to be on the lookout for a black swan events. There's going to be a black swan event, two of them, around the beginning of the baseball season, or in the baseball season. I believe it's going to be in the beginning, but again, it might not be in the beginning, but it's going to be during the baseball season. And then it's going to be one right after the other. And one involves the sun and the other the moon. And I mean, it all ties in beautifully there. So I appreciate you sending that in, Joe. If you get any more dreams and visions, please write in and let us, we will share it with the people. God bless you. Shalom.
Thank you, Joe.
What's really interesting about what Joe sent is the fact that I had mentioned earlier on the show, Bobby Ackert, and his new book, Behind the Gates, Book 1. And in that series that I said was almost turning into complete fact, was two black swan events, one very close to the other and within a couple of days of each other. The first black swan event that occurred was a financial collapse, and the second one was the America's power grid went down, went dark. And so... that's rather telling. Plus, we've got the new movie Civil War coming out right after 4 days after the eclipse, and then later in the year, a couple more months, Angel Studios will put out their new end time scenario film called Homestead, and in Homestead, there are two black swan events. Isn't that odd? Two black swan events, and that's going to be a film coming out from Angel Studios, already in full production. And the two black swan events in the book now, I hadn't seen the film, but in the book, is the fact that one of them is a financial collapse, and the next one is an EMP event. So I find that really telling. Thanks, Joe.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's this black, this little phrase, black swamp event. For some people that may not know what that is, maybe you're hearing it for the first time, you know, most people know what it is, but a lot of people don't know what it is. It is a high-impact event that's difficult to predict under normal circumstances, but in retrospect appears to have been inevitable. So a black swan event is something unexpected and therefore difficult to prepare, but it is also something that is, you know, it can be rationalized if you have some foresight or hindsight as something that it is inevitable, unavoidable. So there you have it. And this is very, very interesting, very interesting. We're going to have to keep a close eye on all these things, but it is, people are having dreams and visions about this, just like the book of Joel prophesied. Here's one from Yolanda.
Hello, Brother Augusto. It has been a while since I wrote to you. I have been listening to all of your podcasts. I am so sorry to hear that Jerry has left. I am sure she is still helping you from heaven. I finally retired last December. When I left the lab, they were setting restrictions in accessing areas and confining people to only their office areas. This is strange, and also they were in a process of hiring over 300 interns and hundreds of visitors and employees for this summer. This is new, and I knew I had to get out. Everything is so secretive. The weather in Aurora Eel is also strange. We had one snowstorm, had one cold snap of minus 10 degrees, but the rest of the time we had sunny days from 30 to 70 degrees with some rain and one severe thunderstorm with tornadoes. I too have been keeping track of Planet X, the signs in the sky, the solar eclipse on April 8th. Is the Devil's Comet different from Planet X? I also know about Apophis in April 13, 2029, and all of the things you talk about on Thursdays about the people not being with our Lord. Jesus showed me about the Trump Latinos and other singers singing songs about Jesus, America, our rights, and stopping the globalists. That is a fight between good and evil. The songs are touching people from all walks of life, including young people and kids. There are hundreds of YouTubers exposing the truth and on other formats. If you have time, listen to their songs and they will inspire you. YouTube cannot take them off because they get thousands of likes and the songs go up to number one. One thing I started after retirement is listening to the KJV Bible. I started it from the beginning, but after Leviticus, and I was led to read the New Testament. Now I am led to concentrate in Revelation. All I can say is that mankind can be so stubborn, so disobedient, and so reckless with God. I understand that getting that white gown requires sacrifice unto death. Each one of us needs to confirm our covenant with our Lord. We will see all of those things that are coming on earth. Be not afraid, for our Lord is coming. May Jesus bless you, Larry and Chuck. I pray for your health and to keep going. Your sister in Christ. Yo.
Thank you, Sister Yolanda. God bless you. I was not surprised that you shared that you had to retire, and because of what's going on there, your jobs, the situation is getting very, very, very difficult, is the word, in many parts of the country. And with this new AI technology developing, and they're bringing in a lot of people, and they're gonna start tightening down. And I know you were in one of those positions, so that's all I'm gonna share. But I appreciate you taking the time to write, and I have been reading about that. I haven't yet done the research on it. I will be doing the research on it, and I will probably be sharing more on it Thursday on the Conversations Beyond the not conversations, Messages from Beyond the Veil. I will be sharing some information on that. Because this, all of these things are kind of converging. They're converging. And what you said there about the Trump Latinos and the youth, the Jesus for the youth for Christ and all that, and all the songs that they're singing. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I am seeing that too, and it seems like Joel chapter 2 is coming to pass. In the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and the old men shall dream dreams. And everyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We are in those days. We are in those days. And as far as reading the Bible, I absolutely agree with you. We need to do that, and we need to. And your comment there about the white gown, that is definitely true. That is definitely true. And what a lot of people do not understand is that our white gown gets soiled with our lives here on earth, and we have to. And this is why we have to pray, and this is why we have to confess our sins and repent every day, so that our gowns remain white, because they get soiled. They get soiled with the dealings on this earth. You know, one thing people have to understand and remember is that we are in enemy territory. We are in the enemy territory, and we are not of this world. This world belongs to the enemy. And so any time that we walk on this earth, we have dealings in this earth, we work on this earth, and we associate with people on this earth, our gowns are going to get soiled. And this is everything you see on TV, everything you hear, everything that you do, every one of these things, if they're not righteous and if they're not godly, it will soil our garments. And so, it is important that you mentioned that, to keeping the garments white. And so there's a lot there, but I appreciate you sharing. I appreciate your prayers, Yolanda. God bless you. Thanks for writing, and write again.
Thank you, Yolanda.
Thanks, Yolanda.
All right. If you do not know the Lord, I don't know what to tell you. We are living in such dangerous times that those of you that are just saying, I'm waiting for a more appropriate time to get close to God, I mean, thou knowest not what you're saying. And so what I would tell you is, prepare yourself. And the best way to prepare yourself is to accept the blood sacrifice of Jesus, Yeshua, that he shed on the cross for you and me, on our behalf. The thing you need to do is to accept, to receive his forgiveness, and to apply the complete work of the cross and the resurrection on your life. And then take authority over every demonic spirit and every demonic association that you have in your life. And you have to be serious about this. You cannot say you serve Jesus and you hang around with the devil's crowd. You can't do that. You cannot say you belong to Jesus and then you do the things that the devil's crowd does. You cannot say you belong to Jesus and then you watch the same things that the devil's crowd watches. You dress the same way the devil's crowd dresses, and you speak the same way the devil's crowd speaks. You just can't do that. And so when you come to Jesus, you have to make a commitment, and you have to repent. And repent means you're going to have to try your very best not to continue to repeat the things that are sinful, offensive. Okay? And I know that there's a lot of people going to jump and say, no, we are saved by grace and gospel. That is true. That is true. That is true. But never forget also that Apostle Paul said, they that do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And what are those things? Murderings, fornication, lying, cheating, adultery, shedding of innocent blood. All these things, you do these things, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, anyways, you need to make a commitment today. And you need to make a covenant with him that you're going to serve him and that you're going to live for him. Because that's what he expects. He's going to give you eternal life. He's going to allow you to live in a place that is his home. So if you want to live in his home, he said he was going to prepare a place for us. If you want to live in his home, and you want to enjoy the protection and the beauty of his home, you're going to have to give something in return. I know it's free, but that what we give in return is not, you know, it's our commitment. It's a covenant. This is why it's called a covenant. Covenant is something that's done between two people, not just one. It's two people. It takes two people to do a covenant, to cut a covenant. So anyways, you find yourself a place there, and you kneel down, and you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save you. Repent of your sins, and he will do just that. Ask him to fill you with the Holy Ghost, and he will do just that. Like I shared earlier, there are tools on our website for water baptism, to have communion, how to get saved. After you get saved, there's all kinds of scriptures. There's also some movies there, some testimonies. Go and peruse it. It's really, really, really a lot there, and it's all free. So praise God. And if you do happen to hear this program and the Lord deals with your heart and you make a decision, get in touch with me. I'd love to hear from you. Well, we still have about 20 minutes left. I wanted to share something here, and this is something I touched on at the beginning of the program, but I'd like to get your guys' opinion. And I know that we have talked about this before, and the level of faith in the Supreme Court is not very high at this time. But listen to something that Justice Justice Jackson, okay, Ketanji Jackson, which is the most recent Supreme Court appointee justice. She basically made a comment, and she said that the First Amendment is hamstringing the federal response to threatened circumstances from the government's perspective. So basically, she's saying that that the First Amendment is really to blame, and that, you know, and that the government has a right to, you know, protect the citizens, blah blah blah, which is is an old rhetoric when the government is overreaching, and they always say we're trying to protect you, and that is the first step to taking away your liberties. Never forget that. When I think it was Ronald Reagan made a comment before he passed away. He said, when the government comes into your home and says, we are here to protect you, be very, very concerned.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would assume we should be very, very concerned. Yeah, and you're right. Faith in the Supreme Court is not very good right now. Their level of protecting the rights and the Constitution itself have failed completely. A lot of the new additions, even under Trump, are not taking the stand and not doing the right thing. And it don't take a genius. You don't have to be a political genius. You don't have to be a politician extraordinaire. You don't have to be somebody that's been through Harvard or some of these other schools. Just a poor old lay citizen that thinks righteously can figure out that those people's not our friend. You know, and when they come, you know, if you want to tell somebody the government's there to protect you, talk about Louisiana, New Orleans, and the hurricane that came in there and what we saw, and many other examples. One of the interesting things is the fact that, you know, now a federal judge has ruled, or stayed, if you will, stopped, that's another term you could use, Texas, the state of Texas, from implementing its new law to arrest illegals. And so there, yeah, sure, the federal government or the rest of them, the judges, they're gonna help you out, take care of your citizens. No, they're not. But with that being said, I have to give a kudos to your governor, Augusto, Ron DeSantis. You know, when he came back finally and began to work in Florida, he now finds himself in a dilemma somewhat. He's got the Haitians coming like crazy. Matter of fact, I've watched some information involving in that, and it appears that the Clintons, who basically were tied to Haiti big time with money and such, basically stopped what was going on in Haiti that the government was trying to do to straighten out Haiti. And they basically brought on this, I don't know what you want to call it, a coup, a revolution, an overthrowing. I mean, you can call it anything you want to, total chaos, anything you want to call it, that is apparently sending Haitians running in all directions, and a lot of them coming towards Florida, if you will. Now, one thing that they did release on America's Voice News, not some of the others, they didn't include everything, but they did release the fact that Florida, and this is actually Florida, I believe it was game wardens and other officials in Florida seized a boat with like 25 Haitians on it, illegal Haitians trying to get into the U.S., and they were off Florida, off the eastern Florida coast, and they confirmed that these Haitians had firearms, had technology, you know, of night vision technology, had illegal drugs, and someone would want us to believe that these Haitians were going to land with this technology and these weapons and these drugs seeking asylum? You got to be kidding me. However, DeSantis people grabbed them, and now they're trying to get the U.S. Coast Guard and maybe the Navy to come out and try to help block this invasion from Haiti that seems to be coming their way. And, well, good luck with that. But you got to admit, Florida is one of those states that are revolutionary. They're actually their own republic to some degree. And DeSantis is battling the deep state, battling Biden and his people. So I give a kudos. And matter of fact, a news ticker I saw a couple of days ago said Florida's DeSantis signs three new bills designed to combat illegal immigration. So the war is on, if you want to call it a war, and it is a war, actually, but it's on. And with that being said, I had one more thought I wanted to share. I don't have a lot of data, but I had one more thought. This is just a thought. But, you know, with Obama taking a secretive trip, and that's this came out on, well, especially out of England, but this came out on a lot of mainstream news, actually. They were shocked that Obama had took a secret trip to 10 Downing Street and was not only videoed, he was also photographed getting out of a caravan of vehicles and going into 10 Downing Street to meet with Sunak, who's the Prime Minister of the UK. Now, a lot of people say there's recently, this is the rumor here, but it's focused in on some of the World News Daily and some other groups that are following what's going on, and they're saying that apparently there's been a little bit of a breakdown of agreement or somewhat of a rivalry arise between Obama and his aides and Joe Biden and his aides. There's something going on there. And I was just thinking, with what is being brought to America, and you and Augusto and Chuck and others, we've all talked about what's coming. And this is just to me, thanks, okay? But it's a good question. Is it possible that Obama now sees what's really about to happen in America? Is it possible that Obama might be searching for a new home away from America?
I wouldn't doubt if Obama has one of those secret underground bunkers that has been equipped with plenty of food and water and everything else that somebody would need to stay down there for months on end. I don't know, maybe or maybe not, but yeah, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. No doubt those Haitians coming into Florida on the boat, those are probably individuals that were released from prison. And they were given weapons and everything that they had and told, you know, head on over to Florida and see if you can sneak in and become part of the revolution that's taking place in America right now. And that is their whole intent, is to destroy America, of course. And when you hear people coming against the Constitution and saying that it's hindering what the government is trying to do to protect people, that is, you know, such a bunch of malarkey. The Constitution has worked for a long time, since it was written and put into law, you know, the Constitution of the land. It has helped the people living in this country, and now they want to get rid of it, of course, because they want to be the ones that are ruling over us in lawlessness and everything you can think of that's evil.
Yeah. Well, let me address those two areas that you touched on, Larry and Chuck. And one of those areas is the fact that these people are coming from Haiti, and I read more than one article on that, and it did surprise me, the fact that they had guns and they had all this kind of equipment there on the boat. And the thing that the thing that came in my spirit as I was reading that is that, you know, the Haiti basically has been overtaken by drug lords and gangs, similar to what is happening in Mexico and what is happening in Ecuador and what is happening in Colombia, what is happening in so many countries in Central America. That is what used to happen in El Salvador, until the president there, the new president that I really admire in his, you know, his guts and his integrity, and his he's confronting these gangs head on. In Salvador used to be one of the hot spots there, and these groups are fomented, and they are endorsed, and they are, in some cases, they are incentivized, right, and monetized by the powers that be, by the Cabala mafia, if you will, the rich men of the earth. And so the same thing that is happening across our borders with Mexico, where these individuals are arming and they are encouraging and working together with the government of the United States to bring, you know, to bring these people here. And those same gangs members and mafiosos and the sicarios, they are the ones that are bringing the people here to this country for a certain amount of money. And so basically what happens is the government is working, right, with and the people and the rich men of the earth, is actually the rich men of the earth and the government are working together. And they, and then these people, these individuals, these gangs are being paid to bring certain people here in this country. Now, we don't know the details of that. We never will. But there are certain elements that are being brought up, are being paid to be brought, that they're being paid for to bring these individuals here. Now, let me go back to Haiti. I believe the same scenario is playing out in Haiti. I believe that Haiti is also doing the same thing. The gangs and these lawless gangs that are there now are being paid to bring certain elements of people into this nation. And this is why I believe you see the guns and you see all this equipment in the boats. They are basically bringing them in here. Okay, they have been paid to deliver them here, to deliver the package, if you will, here to this country. And our governor is smart enough to get wind of this, and he now realizes what's really going on here. This is not a grassroots thing. This is an invasion, an organized, subsidized. Yeah, I do tend to agree that he may be looking for a place to run to, another hole somewhere to run to. He probably has an underground bunker. Remember, he bought like a huge storage of propane gas tank over there in his little quote-unquote little home there in Martha's Vineyard. Well, it seems like he's not feeling too secure there anymore. And anyways, remember the movie that he produced, Leave the World Behind, where he talks about these scenarios that you talked about from that man's book that you mentioned, Larry, the financial collapse and the collapse of the internet, you know, the collapse of the radio and internet and cell phone towers and everything. That was spoken of, and that was reflected in the movie. They talked about that in the movie. So Obama knows about this. He knows what is coming. And remember one of the main actors in the movie, this black man, he shared the steps that he would take to bring down a nation. And those were the first steps before the invasion. And that's all I'm going to say. In case you haven't seen the movie, you might want to watch it before it's too late. I think you can get it on Netflix if you have that. And so anyways, I don't have Netflix, but I watched it from someone that does have it. And so anyways, I wanted to share this, and this is very interesting. This is the last thing I'll share. I mean, as if all these things are not enough, listen to this. An Obama-appointed judge ruled that illegal immigrants can carry guns in the United States. U.S. District Judge Sharon Johnson Coleman, appointed by Barack Obama, ruled that an illegal immigrant has the right to bear arms under the Second Amendment of the Constitution. So there you have it. We'll be posting all these articles. So they basically now are not only bringing the illegal immigrants here, now they are saying that they should be armed. So there you have it. They are... These people know what they're doing. So you connect the dots, folks. You connect the dots. Final comments, Larry, Chuck, and then we'll wrap it up.
Well, it's really, really interesting because, as you just showed, clearly their hand has been dealt for those that are awake, and for the rest of them, you may just have to watch a movie.
Yeah. If you want to find out what's really going on, just watch TV, especially The Simpsons, and go to the movies, because there's a lot of clues in there as to what's going on if you're not really too aware of what is happening. And please get into alternative media. Listen to Alex Jones and others like him who are spilling the beans.
Yeah. And let me just clarify and quantify what Chuck said, because some people may misunderstand it. Chuck is not saying just go to the movies and start watching movies. You know, that's not what Chuck said. What Chuck is saying is there are some of these movies that are predictive programming, okay? We are not saying to, you know, start going to the movies and watch old films in the movies that are playing out in the theaters and things like that. And so I just wanted to quantify that because I know that's what Chuck meant. Well, folks, we have come to the end of this program. Thank you, Larry, for being with us. And thank you, Chuck, for being with us. And thank you all for tuning in. This has been another edition of The Mailbag Show. Until next time, God bless you. Shalom.